are so many misconceptions about both what it is and why it is. You see, you will all have seen a lot in the press, a lot of quite emotive language about protecting the green belt. It's often accompanied by pictures of very beautiful countryside, very often, interestingly, not green belt. An example of this, report has been covered in the Evening Standard this afternoon, and they chose to use as a picture illustrating on their website a photo of Kew Gardens, which is not Greenbelt, it's not even anywhere near any Greenbelt, and it's a World Heritage Site and is protected as such. So that's the kind of image that people have, that this is, the Greenbelt is something good that we need to keep, and it's there to protect good places. And of course, in planning policy, that's not what it's for. It's interestingly, as a land use designation, it's not really about what's in the green belt. Planning policy says what can't be in the green belt, but it's essentially about creating gaps between places. It is essentially about stopping things, and rather than about what's in it. So it's not an environmental designation, and it's not about leisure and recreation. And that shows in these numbers. You can see very little is built in the Greenbelt, and actually relatively little is environmentally protected land, valuable land, or parks or public access. And I'll come on to those in a bit more detail. Today, with this report, we're just talking about the bit within London, so the darker green area. And in a way, you could say it's quite an odd thing to have a designation that's about stopping a city growing, to have some of that designation actually within the city itself, to stop London growing within its own boundaries. A very, very small proportion of the total metropolitan greenbelt is actually within London, only about 6%. And yet that takes up about 22% of the whole area of London. 22% of Greater London is designated as greenbelt. Less than 28% is covered by homes, commercial buildings, roads, railways, pavements. So it's not much less than that. The rest of this is going to look at what is in that greenbelt. And the kind of general question of this report is about how, you know, this is a huge resource, 22% of London. How do we best make use of that space? So this chart breaks down land use by borough. So you've got all the boroughs along there and the London average at the end. And you can see, the black stuff at the bottom is homes, then the darker grey bit above it is other buildings, and then the paler grey bit above it is transport, mainly roads. And then most of the rest is green. About two-thirds of London is green, and there are 14 boroughs in London where there is more land designated as greenbelt than actually has houses standing on it. And there are even two boroughs, Havering and Bromley, that more than half of the whole area of the borough are designated as greenbelt. So this is a really, really significant part of London in terms of land use, even if it's a very small part of the total greenbelt. So going through land uses in a bit more detail, this is what's built on, including roads and homes. It's only about 2%. Most of that is stuff that a lot of that would have existed before the greenbelt was designated, because often the designation washes over existing buildings. So virtually none of it is developed. Land with public access and the land with environmental designations together with allowing for the overlap is about 22% of the total greenbelt within London. So this is parks, it's country parks, it's land designated for access under the Crow Act, and so on. So again, you know, these are worthwhile places that we need to protect and that have value for the public, but they're a pretty small part of the Greenbelt, and they're not what the Greenbelt is for, despite the public perception. So this is what the Greenbelt is really for, creating space between places, empty space. This is intensive agriculture, very, very, very little, possibly even negative wildlife value, given the pesticide use and so on in intensive agriculture. There's a few other uses, a traveller's site, gravel extraction. There's a farm that's used for storing broken down cars in the corner as well. So this is really what a lot of the Greenbelt is protected for. It's not about access. There's hardly any... there's one footpath in that picture, I think, that goes around the gravel extraction site. And it's not about environmental value. Incidentally, this is very close to a tube station. So Greenbelt is largely agriculture, farming. Most of that is arable, but there's a fair number of horse paddocks there as well. Another very significant use is golf, which of the Greenbelt within London makes up 7.1%. That's 2,500 hectares of London, not of London Greenbelt, that's not outside of London, just within London, 2,500 hectares protected by Greenbelt designations for use for golf. And that's, to put it in context, that's twice the area of the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea in use for golf. Some of my best friends play golf. But that's not to say that we need to keep all of these and have such strong designations to protect every last inch of uses like this. You know, if you think of the purposes in the MPPF for protecting Greenbelt, you know, this is not open protecting, avoiding encroachment on the open countryside. It's not avoiding coalescence of settlements. These are surrounded by development, by kind of built-out suburban London. They're not providing amenity value. They're fenced off, you know, unless you've got £1,500 a year for the membership fee. And they're strongly protected by Greenbelt development, and a really significant proportion of London's Greenbelt is. Final map, it's looking at accessibility. If you take away the environmental designations and if you take away the public access land and so on, you still get 42% of the Greenbelt within London is accessible land without those valuable designations within easy reach of existing public transport. That's a lot of land, and no one is suggesting all of that should be built on, but we're suggesting it may be worth looking if some of it could be, a small part of it, because you would only need a very small part of that to make a really fundamental difference to the position of London in terms of the housing crisis.